This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Evan the Beard, Marina Shafir's in traffic. Todd Rex, T-Rex, said he's not coming today. Told me that today. Very professional. It's going to be a good show, though. We got Rashad Evans calling in. And Anthony Berchek. And I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever you guys celebrate. My week. I had a good week. Interesting week. I went to the Comedy Club Christmas party where I saw my ex-girlfriend because she works there, which is where we met a couple years ago. Comics, if you're out there, don't date the waitstaff. That's absolutely true. Anybody trying to become a comedian, you know, they're always like the easiest girls to, you know, because they see you and they're fun and they're normally smoking hot. But if you end up getting into a relationship with them, then you're going to have to see them when you go to the comedy club. It's going to be awkward, especially if you're not in that good standing with the comedy club to begin with. and then they might see other comedians and then... Yeah, it was a mess. But it was still nice to see her, but it was just awkward. Awkward Christmas party. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I got a couple girls that, not a couple girls. I got a girl right now that I'm maybe. It seems like, I'm taking it slow, but who knows? Good things might happen. I'm doing it right now. I'm 26 years old. I'm 36 years old. I'm single and with no kids. In LA, that's normal. In the Midwest, I'm a homosexual. But anyway, so I had another show. I had a crazy week of shows. I had a show at a Christmas party. They hired me to do a company Christmas party, which are always weird, but they're great paying. But this one had 15 people in like a conference room with no microphone. It's me and just a table. It was as if I was giving the worst presentation of all time. You ever see that scene in Dumb and Dumber where he's like, Liar, Liar, where Jim Carrey's making jokes and eventually takes the guy's hair off, puts it on the wall. That's exactly how I felt. Like that's the scene of why I do an hour of that. It was fun though. It was a good gig because the guy told me I could be as dirty as I want. And I've had a lot of terrible, weird gigs. I did, remember 2 years ago, I did a baby shower. This woman was pregnant. This smoking hot woman was pregnant. And I think she was angry that she was pregnant. So she's like, let me get a comedian to piss everyone off too. So she hired me in Vegas. Joey Varner was there. And it was one of those things where like, people kept trying to up the ante of like, oh, I'll get a pony for my baby shower, or I'll get a princess, I'll get a comedian. So I just ended up offending everybody. They were dying laughing, but half of them were on Paxil, or it was just a lot of work done in that room as far as like faces goes. And I actually told the girl that I would go down on her pregnant. That's how hot she was at her baby shower. And I told the guy who was on his third marriage that if he doesn't make this work out, he's obviously a homosexual. He was cutting me the check, so he was really happy about that. But that was probably my second weirdest gig. My first weirdest gig had to have been the wedding. I'm sure you've seen the wedding video where I got attacked. If you look up on YouTube, a comedian attacked at wedding. I talked about it on Rogan's podcast when I went on it, where I talked about it on, I was on the show in England called The 10 Worst Weddings, and actually two shows in England for that, where a guy attacked me. But what happened was a couple hired me to be the minister and pretend that I'm marrying them and told me to roast everybody, giving me no type of fodder for what to say to people. And then some guy looked like Bon Jovi, and I'm like, hey man, sorry your band broke up. And he charged me and pushed me, and then he left, and I was like, don't stop believing. And then that's on YouTube now. It has over 100,000 hits or something. But the crazy part about that video, people don't know that's an edited video. I have to do another 40 minutes after that in which the grandma starts yelling at me and she's like, we don't want to hear about your sex life. And the guy was inside pacing around the whole time through a window that I could see him making faces at me like he wanted to kill me. So that I actually have that whole video. I might post that one day if I just get some energy. So anyway, that was those were some of my weeks. Then that night I had two shows. I did one show at the Comedy Store, which was great, packed house. had a blast. I want to play that club more. And then afterwards, I did the Inside Jokes Comedy Club, which is a movie theater where there was two people there. And of course, I like bring a date to come see me. She sees me kill. And then after that, she sees me in front of two people, which is, no matter how hard you're killing, it's still two people. And then afterwards, my date was like, you know, I don't know how serious you are about your career. It was just one of those ridiculous situations. She was from China, didn't speak English, met her off Tinder. Anyway, I had Saturday off, which was great, because I got to watch the fights. I never usually have Saturday off. I got to sit down, order Chinese food. I'm on my bed with my dog and my two cats, watching the UFC Brazil card, which was a good card, really good card. I was pissed off. I put money on Dolloway. Why I did that? It was 6-1. I paid $5 on him. I didn't exactly like mortgage my house, but. But yeah, that was crazy. That kick was insane. So people were tweeting like, yeah, that kick was so bad that that Rampage retired. It was rough. That was rough. We're gonna go through. I'm gonna wait for Marina to come. We'll talk about all those fights. The funniest part about that was when like the live feed went out, and then they started showing for some reason like halfway through the fight they started showing TJ Dillashaw versus Barao, cuz that opened me up for so many jokes about how North Korea canceled the rest of the card and how Dana White cut the card and how TJ Dillashaw saw that he was fighting TJ and fell in the bathtub again. I mean, that was just, I was like joke. That was fun. That was actually like one of the most fun part of the thing. But that was crazy. I was like, it took me a couple seconds to realize what was going on. And then all of a sudden, just Twitter went crazy when the live feed went down. They should have every card. Just start. I'm surprised they put up that card. I mean, they could have put up UFC 7. I mean, how funny would that have been if they all of a sudden Keith Hackney showed up or UFC 1. It's like Jimerson versus Hoist. I mean, that would be pretty amazing if they would have done that. But that was cool. Sunday night, I went to the Real Husbands of Hollywood. It was their rap party. I'm in an episode coming up. It's probably next August. It's they're way behind, but so I was on one episode. I cut a couple lines. It was a lot of fun, but it was crazy going to that rap party because you know it was fun. I mean, like Kevin Hart was there, and the girl who played Gabby. The girl who like played Precious was there. Gabby Sudabe, or you know how to say her last name. Evan has no idea what I'm talking
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely no idea.
And Tisha Campbell was there, who I used to. I mean, Tisha Campbell. I think I probably watched House Party 500 times. You know, as a kid, House Party was like my go-to movie. I've watched. So I meet Tisha Campbell, and I'm like. And I'm such a moron because she's still adorable. I mean, she's a little older now, but she's got those cute dimples, and she's definitely aged well. And I'm like, Tisha Campbell. She's like, I'm a big fan. She's like, thanks. I'm like, I must have watched House Party 500 times. I couldn't sound more creepier, like a bigger stalker than that. I mean, Jesus, why did I say that? There were so many cool things I could have said, but she was like, oh, thank you so much, and she was so sweet. I saw, you know, Gabby Sudabe, I think I say Sudabe, and Craig Robinson was there, who, I don't know if you guys know Craig Robinson, he was in The Office, played Daryl, and Hot Tub Time Machine. He's a good dude. I've been friends with him for a long time, and I have a cousin who's really sick. She has a thing called dysautonomia, which is this crazy disease that only Jewish people get. It's this rare bone disease. I know it sounds funny, but
no, my roommate has that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's Jewish.
She's Jewish, yeah. But my cousin has that, And most kids that have it like live till 15. It's a really, really rare, horrible disease where basically you can knock out your teeth and you basically can't feel pain. So you have to be monitored all the time, and she has to eat through a tube because she can choke on her food, and just a really, really tough disease. So I always have a comedy show. She goes to this special camp called Kids of Courage, this beautiful camp every summer where they take kids who have that and they send them on trips. And me and my friends have a comedy show for these kids every time they come. And, you know, obviously we have to be, you know, clean. But I always try to have special guests come. And there were a couple celebrities that I'm friends with, or I thought I was friends with, that I've asked that, you know, backed out of it, which I'm not going to name names, but it's always kind of pissed me off. But Craig Robinson's a guy who I asked to do it. And Craig, you know, he was on set. He drove like I don't know, an hour out of his way. Obviously, I wasn't paying him. Not obviously, but I wasn't paying him. He came and did like an hour for the kids, you know, of comedy and singing and just, and then spend like another 2 hours after with each kid, you know, taking pictures and this and that. And I mean, there's a guy that like didn't have to do that. Could have easily given me an excuse, didn't do it, and basically had like a tear in his eye because he was so touched by these kids. So Craig Robinson will always be. And my, you know, I hold him in the highest regards. There's a guy who's a real celebrity in my eyes. And it was great seeing Craig. And he has a TV show coming out. So on, I think, ABC or, you know, he has a network show coming out pretty soon. So make sure you support him because he's a good, good guy. Great guy. Not a good guy. Great guy. Let's talk MMA news. Dominic Cruz injured himself, which sucks. I mean, especially we had him on last week. People are blaming us, saying that I jinxed him. He was hurt before this podcast even, you know, not that he was hurt for this time, but he's the guy who's been hurt before. I did not jinx Dominic Cruz. Stop texting me that, please, or stop tweeting me that, which, of course, now you guys are going to keep tweeting me that. But Dominic Cruz, that sucks. He is a guy who, another guy who I obviously root for. I can't believe he keeps getting hurt, you know. And, you know, it's hard for me as an MMA Roasted account because I try to, you know, when the news breaks, I try to give you the news and a joke. That's what differentiates my account from everybody else, the thousands of other people who are just giving you news. I mean, there's so many people just giving you news. And that's, you know, there's a talent in delivering news. But to me, it's news and a joke. That way you hit the news and you laugh. Sometimes people don't, you know, maybe it'll put a smile. But it's hard to make a joke about a guy who works as hard as Dominic Cruz does and make it funny. So I'm like, all right, well, what joke do I have here? I don't want to just say Dominic Cruz is injured. That's just, then I'm just being an MMA feed, you know? So I'm like, okay, well, Dominic Cruz is injured. You know, he never should have trained with Overeem. That was, so therefore, and then people still got mad at me. Fuck you, asshole. That's not cool. I'm like the punchline is Overeem. But I'm like, okay, so I deleted that because I'm like, ugh. Maybe I'm becoming a pussy in my old age or whatever. So Dominic Cruz is injured. Even with two ACLs, he would still beat CM Punk. There you go. There's the joke. And therefore, CM Punk is the punchline. Thank you, CM Punk. But it does, people were actually writing me jokes like that I wasn't retweeting because it was a little too soon. They were like, yeah, Joe Rogan told his legs it'll never be elite. You know, which I thought was kind of a, not a bad joke, right? It's not. I mean, I didn't retweet it because I'm like, too soon. Probably shouldn't even have said it just now. But I don't know. Get healthy, Dominic Cruz. I did feel horrible. I texted him. I called him. I'm a big Dominic Cruz fan. And it just sucks. I mean, because I think him and TJ would be a hell of a fight. I think that's a main card fight. That's obviously a main card, like a main event fight, not even a co-main event. I would pay money to see Cruz versus TJ. I mean, you got, those are the two. I mean, the speed, the animosity, the whole thing. I would love to see that fight. I'm sure Dominic will be back, but that does suck. Jesus, that sucks. So other stuff to talk about. So I don't know. I think I told most of you guys this. I used to work at Playboy. I was the warm-up comic for Night Calls, which was Jesse Jane and Kirsten Price were the hosts, and I would warm up the crowd, which was a tough crowd, a tough job because I don't pay anybody a tough job. It was great money, but literally I would try to tell jokes where there was like 10 girls behind me scissoring each other, naked, doing things, and I'm walking around the crowd going, hey, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. So what do you do? And people are like, do not want to even be seen in the crowd because they're embarrassed to be there, and I'm blocking them from seeing the girls. Ridiculous job. However, it was a job that I showed up early to. I mean, literally 3 hours early I would show up to work. Not 3 hours. But it was actually one time, I'll tell you a story. I was next to there where like the girls change, and I could overhear them talking like, oh, you know, I was sucking on some guy's balls and they were hairy or just complaining about, and I'm like, I have to get into this conversation. I've never heard girls talk like this before. And so they were getting their makeup done. So I knock on the door and I'm like, hey, I want to get my makeup done too. And they're like, are you on camera? I was like, no, but I just want to. And they're like, okay. So I sat down and got my makeup done, even though I wasn't on camera, just because I wanted. I thought that was really stupid, but funny. So Marina, I think Marina's here. Yes. Yeah,
Sorry for being late, guys.
No, it's okay.
Holiday traffic.
It's just me and you today.
Marina's here. It never is.
Yes, it's
all. Where is everybody?
T-Rex is I don't know what happened to T-Rex. He texted me today, say he would you kill me if I couldn't make it? And I was like, no, I'd prefer it.
If you could choke him out.
Well, yeah, you should choke him out.
Oh, you should choke him out.
Oh, I should choke him out too. By the way, I saw you in the Entourage trailer. You're in the trailer.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
You and Jess and Shayna.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
It just came out today.
Can we watch it?
Yes, we could watch it. We're not on the show.
Do I look good?
You do. You look hot.
Yes.
You're like butt naked.
I'm not naked.
Yes, you're actually getting piled.
They told me they weren't going to film in the trailer.
Yeah, you're getting pile drived on the show. It's amazing. It's a
by myself. I was just practicing the position.
No. So how are you? What's going on?
I'm good. I'm just getting over a really gnarly cold.
Oh, well, good. Yeah. Sit right next to me. That's
you know,
awesome. Thank you.
Spreading the love.
There you go. Is your boyfriend the tugboat guy back?
Yeah, I asked him if he wanted to come and hang out, but he's training right now, so.
Wow. Is he fighting soon?
No, he's just training.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Does this guy really exist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
He really exists.
That's good. And how
is... Maybe he can come on next Tuesday.
And how was your weekend?
It was what I did this weekend. It was good. I worked a lot. I picked up a lot of hours because being the only Jew in a coffee shop, struggle is real. Everybody wants to just give you out.
What is the struggle is real?
And Marina, pull that mic up
now,
a little
now
bit.
Now, where does that originate from, the struggle is real? Who started that? No, but I know, but it's all of a sudden everyone's saying it now on social media. The struggle is real, hashtag.
It's really just to make fun of like practical situations like, ugh, I got to get up and put my cream in my coffee. The struggle is real.
But who started that? It's actually a good...
not a good question. Nobody really cares.
Absolutely no one could definitively answer that question either.
I'm not saying it's a good question. I'm saying it's a good phrase. But you interrupted me like you always do. Therefore, I could not be able to complete the phrase. Okay. Anyway, all right. We were talking about, did you watch the fights last week, Saturday?
I was working.
It's always good to have a fight show where the people that are co-host the show don't watch the fights. That's all I ask. You don't have to do anything. I will book the guests. I'll plan the show. I'll get everything.
I had caffeine duties.
You don't have TiVo or DVR?
I do.
Okay, so you can't say, okay, I'm going to DVR the fights and then watch them maybe when I don't have caffeine duties. Well, in my 2 hours, I can even fast forward the commercials so that way I can just watch the actual fights. Mm. And then when we go on a podcast that people listen to.
Can you write this outline for me so I can follow?
Yes. When you go on a podcast, then you could say, you know what? Hey, look, I'm on a podcast talking about fighting, and these are the fights I should have watched, and I'll know what the fuck I'm talking about, as opposed to the other guy who hosts a show will just talk about fights that I haven't seen and then just sit there like a fucking Nimrod. Honestly, I had this talk with T-Rex last week.
Because he never watched the
fights. He didn't watch the fights either, and it was like...
Yeah, but what is he doing on a Saturday night?
He has 4 kids, but I'm sick of, honestly.
Am I fired?
No, you're not fired. T-Rex is fucking, my patience is.
I'm sorry,
Marina.
Really
we'll go off and do our own thing.
I'm not even really hired. Just...
My patience is thin right now with T-Rex. Obviously,
how is your patience?
Thin. Obviously, you're a fighter. You know, you bring that credibility. Okay, he doesn't have that.
But I fail because I don't watch the fights.
All right. So anyway, there's a porn. There's two porn stars right now going at it on Twitter. Nikki Benz and Lisa Ann.
And how does this have to do with MMA?
Good segue.
I was talking about. Well, because you were 25 minutes late, I started talking about my job, and then I was going to get into it. But then you came, interrupted it, and that's how it all happens. So
now we're talking about porn stars.
Yes. Well, because this is MMA. Now Nikki Benz. Nikki bends over. She does bend over. She wants to fight Lisa Ann. She's a girl who played Sarah Palin and Nailin Palin.
I missed that one.
Oh, right. So so they start talking smack. I don't know what the beef was over, but now Nikki wants to box Lisa Ann. And we were going to have
her... In a porn star boxing match?
No, in a real boxing match for charity.
Like a commission-based?
Yeah. No, not like... I doubt that anyone's going to sanction it, but probably like in a celebrity boxing... type thing.
Like a Mickey Rourke thing?
Yeah, like a Mickey Rourke thing, probably. Okay. Which they'll both get paid to go down. All right, so
Now
Nikki called her a bully ass hoe on Twitter. Not a bully ass hoe, a bully ass hoe. And I said that, you know, that Nikki's gonna be the first Canadian champion since GSP. And then actually Elias Theodoro wrote, of course, she goes balls deep in championship rounds. Which thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Elias. Guy fucking kills me. And then somebody wrote, it's the porn version of Tito versus Bonner, because they're kind of, they may have peaked a couple years ago. I'll just call it that. And now Jesse Jane wants to fight Jenna Jameson. Christy Mack wants to fight Bonnie Rotten. So there's three porn stars that like want to fight each other, or six, I guess. Now, do you think?
So are you thinking? I'm thinking there could be like a really good promotion going on here.
That's what I'm
totally
saying.
Totally put this together. But matchmaker, or you don't even need a matchmaker. They are their own matchmakers.
But do you think like a Titan FC or like a Legacy or even a World Series of
what
Fighting?
What would we name this porn star promotion?
World Series of Fisting. No. But don't you think one of these promotions should do that? If you're going to sign CM Punk, who has zero experience.
And if we're just going to be completely joking of the sport.
Yeah. These girls have like, you know, a million followers on Twitter, some of them. Some of them have like, you know, at least minimum 800,000 followers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of these guys would tune in to watch them fight. Don't you think that putting them on the undercard of a Titan FC or would actually be a good idea? I mean, it would make a complete joke of MMA, women's MMA.
No, I don't think it would be a good idea to put them on an MMA, like an official MMA promotion. I think an official MMA promotion should do a little sad thing and put together like a little show for themselves. I don't think they should incorporate like porn stars in an official MMA show.
But if you're putting CM Punk, I mean,
that's different. That's different.
Why is that?
Because professional wrestling is a lot different than porn.
These girls put a lot more time on the ground than CM Punk.
And that couldn't be a bad thing.
So, I mean, honestly, they have the exact same amount of fights as CM Punk, these girls.
No.
Yes, they have. CM Punk never had a fight before. Neither has Bonnie Rotten.
Have you seen some of the bumps that he's taken in wrestling?
Have you seen some of the knees that these girls have had?
Yes.
The bruised knees? I'm just saying. I look.
Rug burns. The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Don't you think it's a good idea?
I guess what is the UFC is trying to incorporate a new style of fighting. Professional wrestling fighting.
So, all right. Well, listen, we got Rashad Evans
now
calling in.
Now we got
in.
Porn star fighting.
Is
he coming in or like?
No, we got Rashad. We're going to call Rashad right now.
We don't have anybody in studio. What the hell?
Well, being that you're a fighter in a gym every day, maybe you could ask some of the people you train with.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, God. Help. All right. So
I could leave.
No, I like having you here. So, all right, we're going to talk about Machida versus Dolloway afterwards. We're going to talk about Pat Cummings, how good he looked, Rampage coming back. Cody McKenzie's fighting in M1 last week, his fight that he lost, but he had the greatest walkout ever. He came out to Here I Go Again on My Own. By Whitesnake. You got to see this walkout. We're going to play that.
Cody is so Cody. I love that guy.
Yes. Titan FC. Desmond won. Desmond beat Steven Seiler. We had him on last week. We'll talk about that. CM Punk saying he wants to fight Anderson Silva for the right money. UFC lawsuits. We're going to talk about that. A lot of stuff we got to talk about. Anthony Berchek.
Adam Hunter, what's up?
What's up, man? It's me, Marina Shafir. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. How's it going, buddy?
What's up, Anthony?
Good, brother. How's it going, Marina? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good, brother. Just been, you know, being lazy and getting fat.
Nice. That's good. Thanks for the ticket, by the way. Anthony's and his beautiful wife, Mercedes, got me the ticket to the UFC on Fox.
What?
So thank you.
So nice of them.
Yeah, as soon as I heard you were coming to town, man, you know, I wanted to go see you out there in Scottsdale, and I was like, the least I could do was at least hook you up with a ticket, like you hooked me up with a ticket to see your first show. So.
Oh, dude, no, it was great, man. I came running in. I was pumped. Sorry about what happened, man. You were looking great. You were looking great. You were landing your, you know, punches. You got the double leg takedown. It's that damn heel hook he caught you with, huh?
Yeah, you know, I felt so good. I was so in the zone. And then, you know, just naturally the wrestler kicked in and I went to, you know, I went to my takedown and it was, that wasn't necessarily part of the plan right out of the gate, but you know, you try to evolve with the fight and it just kind of, that's where the flow went naturally, you know, and I created space to get back up to my feet. And when he did that, he laced his heel hook in and that was the beginning and the end from there.
I mean, were you like when he got that? Because I know the guy had like finished what three guys with that heel hook? Is that's like his go-to move Were you just thinking, ah, fuck?
Well, you know, yeah, exactly. You mm-hmm. know, we had trained so extensively for that, and I thought, you know, I had done enough or was comfortable enough to you know, fight it off and really compete in that position. And he changed a couple things that we didn't see. Usually he does his heel hook from 50-50 guard. And in this time, he went inverted or reverse heel hook. So we had never seen him do that position. I should have trained, you know, I still trained for it. It's a little bit more of a dangerous one. It puts a little bit more torque on the knee. And, I mean, the kid's quads were just like tree trunks. So when he clamped down on my leg and I was started to roll, my knee immediately started popping on the first defense when I rolled to the center of the cage. And then once I rolled back, I got trapped up against the cage and my leg, my left leg got laced under, so I couldn't kick him in his butt to get out. And by that time, my ankle started popping. So, I mean, there was a whole lot of snap, crackle, and pop going on.
Yeah. Now, so Marina, what should he have done?
Honestly, when you have, like, whenever I go for the armbar and, like, I just have my legs, you should be able, like, just the control on the legs.
Yeah.
If you can weaken that, then that's the only way to get out of a submission like that. If you can lighten the bite on the submission, then it's easy to get out. But that's what I would have worked on first. But every situation is different.
Yeah, and that's one thing I failed at. You know what I mean? The rookie kid made a rookie move, and I should have fought the legs off and defended inside. You know, I would have been if I would have done like exactly like you said and defended the leg, pulled the heel off my hip and created space that way, I would have been like standing right over top of him, just raining down punches.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, it was a tremendous life experience. I got to, you know, I had the best warm up. I had the best walkout. I was in the fucking zone when I got in there, and I was just on cloud nine. You know, with the loss, anyways, it's still literally next to my kids being born, the best experience I've ever had in my life.
I mean, so being that you have seven kids, this is your eighth best experience, or?
Yeah, my eighth experience.
now your wife is super hot. She's got huge boobs. I mean, what are they? D's, E's, what are they? F's?
Yeah, they're like, I think she's at triple D right now.
Triple D. Now,
she said E's.
She's her E's. Now, I know that she's your manager also. So, like, after that happens, does she hook you up that night and be like, listen, you're still the champ in my family, and just, like, gobble, gobble? Is that what happens?
Is that what happens?
Oh, Jesus. So repeat that again. I gotta hear that again.
Okay, so afterwards, that night, you're kind of bummed out. She's your wife. She's your manager. You know, you're taking care of at least six of her kids, too. Is she like, baby, you're still my champion, and then gobble, gobble, deep throat?
Yeah, exactly. So she takes her management percentage, and then she takes it all, like I told you last time.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, at least you got a cool wife.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's good.
Exactly.
Nice. Now how messed up was like your knee and ankle though, by the way? How are you as far as that goes?
I'm super sore, man. You know, that night it was the ankle. I mean, you saw me got limping out. Like I couldn't even move my ankle at that time. And, it was the night that it happened. My ankle was super tender and my knee was like, okay. And then on the ride to the hospital, get this shit. I jump in the ambulance. They took me on a 35-minute ride in the opposite direction of the hospital.
Ugh.
Road trip.
So, yeah, exactly. So, like, the UFC wasn't too happy about that. They were like, you know, this was a 5-minute drive. Like, we could literally walk from U.S. Airways to the hospital. You know, what if this kid had brain trauma and you guys took him in the wrong direction? But, no, my knee...
Was, like, Nick Diaz driving the thing?
My knees... Huh?
Was Nick Diaz driving the ambulance?
Yeah, Nick Diaz was driving. He was just lost. No, yeah. You know, my knee's super tender right now. I got my MRI tomorrow on Christmas Eve at 1:30. And I'm going to see what they say, but, you know, nothing's broken, nothing's torn in the ankle so far that they've seen. My orthopedist said I've just got a sprained ankle, so we really got to see what the damage on the knee is.
I mean, it was one of those things I was like, man, you were showing that you're the better fighter. He just fucking caught you. I was like, ah, oh, I was so... It was that, and then I was sitting next to Jake Ellenberger, and then Joe Ellenberger lost, and then my buddy, it was like one of those things where all my guys were like
I actually saw that fight.
The Joe or
yeah,
it was
Joe.
kind of a weird night for us. You know what I mean? Because not only that is my teammate Derek Brunson got sick in the back. You know what I mean? So we're like in the ready room, he's getting wrapped up, I'm getting wrapped up, and the next thing I know, he's like, hey, you know, get Coach Jackson. And, like, I walked over and I was like, hey, Coach, I said, Derek wants you in the bathroom. And he, like, walked over, and next thing I know, fucking EMTs are coming in and giving him IVs and trying to get him rehydrated. And he was throwing up. He, like, projectile vomiting like four or five times, and he got really, really, really bad food poisoning.
Well, I'm happy he didn't fight, though, because a lot of guys would have went and just fought anyway.
And then puked all
yeah,
over
yeah, you know what? You know what was really cool, man? Dana came in the back and was like, you know, Derek, like, I'm not, if you don't want to fight, or if you think there's like a, you know, a percentage of a chance that you don't feel, you know, 150% mentally or even physically, like, he's like, I'm not making you fight, because if you don't want to fight, you don't have to fight. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's really cool. Now, I know that you switched your camp for this fight. You went to Greg Jackson's. I saw pictures of you and Cub Swanson training and a couple other guys. What was that like?
Dude, that was the most elite training I've ever had in my life, in between wrestling, jiu-jitsu, you know, any sport that I've ever done. That was literally the most high caliber training I've had ever. You know, the coaching staff there is amazing. Coach Sixgun Gibson, you know, these guys welcome me. We beat a couple of their guys before, like in the regional scene, and I knocked out one of their top up and coming 135ers. So for them to welcome me in as you know, warmly as they did, I was really pleasantly surprised. And I mean, they you know, the coaches took me under their wing, like I'd been one of their kids for a long time. So and just the opportunity to train with Cub and see how intellectual of a fighter he is and how he breaks down everything was you know, very enlightening and shows me exactly where I need to be and what level I need to be on.
Did you train with John Jones at all?
Nah, he was there though. We hung out and I don't know if you saw me on his Instagram slow grinding to his Nick Jonas song.
I you know what, it was funny. I followed you on like your whole thing with, you know, you with the guys over at Jackson's, and I was really happy for you. It seemed like you really found your place over there.
Yeah, like I said, dude, the energy was just so natural. It clicked, you know what I mean? Like, if you've just ever been around some people and you just, you know, it's like you guys have like kindred souls, you know what I mean? It's like you guys have known each other forever, and that's exactly how I felt, man. I think that's definitely going to be a more permanent spot for me. You know, I'm gonna do my stuff here. Like, I'll probably do 8-week camps, and I'll do my first 4 weeks here, you know, in Tucson, and then head out to Albuquerque to finish up.
Now, were you nervous about possibly getting cut or no?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's never a guaranteed thing. I mean, I signed 4 fights with the UFC, but I've seen weirder shit happen, you know. And I mean, they could give me another fight. I hope they give me another fight. You know, it's just one of those things. You don't know, they could cut you. The division's loaded with people right now, and I don't know if you've seen how many injuries are plaguing the 135 division. So hopefully they keep me on.
Yeah, I think they'll keep you on. I mean, it was one fight. You were looking good up until then. It was just, you got caught in a move. I can't see them. But I was, you know, I was looking at some of your things. Okay, so you were the Rage in the Cage champion. You're a BJJ World Silver Medalist, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're a World Silver Medalist, but you're a purple belt? How is that possible?
Yeah, at the blue belt division, they break all the tournaments down by division. They don't put everybody all in one weight class.
Ah, that makes sense. And then so, MFC champion, you're a 4-time Greco-Roman Arizona State champion, 3-time Arizona High School state medalist, 2003 Arizona State runner-up, and All-American. I mean, you've had a ridiculous amount of credentials. You know, it's all right there. And then I was looking at, like, what you do during a day, right? Typical day. You wake up in the morning for practice, and then you hit Muay Thai pads, then grappling from 8:30 to 10:30. You go back home, you rest, then you run 4 miles. Then you pick up the kids from school, you rest till 5:30, head to the gym for more Muay Thai, then sparring, and then you eat dinner, then you go home, then you run again, and that helps, you said that running again helps calm your brain. That's a typical day?
No rest for the wicked, my friend. And I said I pick up the kids from school. That's not like dealing with all the other little kids bullshit in between those minutes and hours. You know what I mean? Like, I still have to wake up early and drive my oldest daughter up the mountain to high school. We live kind of down in the valley. She goes to a foothill school, and I have to drive her 20 minutes one way, 20 minutes back the next, get my shit for practice, and then head out.
That's a lot of dedication. Marina, I mean, is that typical for you?
Nope, I ain't got no kids.
She said, I ain't got no kids.
I ain't got no kids. But that's a packed day, my friend. More props to you for just getting your shit done.
I mean, when did you and your wife like find time to hook up? I mean, you just trapped in the
right before the MMA roasted show.
Oh, nice. Oh, you guys. You guys just banged just now.
it lasted longer than my UFC debut, thank God.
Oh, come on. It's all right, man. The next time. So who are we calling out? I mean, who are we calling out?
You know, I still want that fight with Joe Soto, you know what I mean? That left a sour taste in my mouth, and I still want to fight Joe. You know, I think we match up good. I think there's a lot of people that will actually meet me in the middle of the cage and fight me rather than fall to their back and go for a heel hook, you know? And I mean, hats off to Ian that he landed his number one move, but at the same time, like, I wanted to get in a fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you also learn your lesson. I mean, that's, you know, tough lesson to learn, but yeah, next time you'll be prepared for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like I said, it was the best experience of my life. You know, even with the loss, it was something that was so long awaited, and you know, I had no nerves. It was all about having fun and enjoying the moment, you know, and I'm sure Marina, you can attest to all the nerves, you know, doing judo at a national level, at a global level, and you feel nerves every once in a while, you know what I mean? And then there's those matches where it's just organic and you're just ready to rock, you know, and that's exactly the mindset that I was in. So
it's the nerves that remind you that you're still, you know, you're there, and it's like a reminder of it reminds you to perform and be at your peak, you know. It's indescribable for people who don't like compete. I mean, everybody gets nerves.
I agree.
Everybody gets nerves for something in their life. Competitions are just a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you know, people are like, oh, don't you worry about getting hurt, and you can get seriously hurt. That never fucking crosses my mind in any of the training or preparation, is the fact that you can get hurt doing this, you know, and other than bumps and bruises, like, this is just competition to me. It's not, you know, it's not like people think of a cage fight, really, you know. It's literally the highest form of competition in my mind. And I mean, I agree with you, the nerves keep you sharp, and the nerves, you know, get you to perform. And I think the morning that I woke up, the morning of the fight, I woke up, because I fought at 1:30, which is like super odd. So I had to cram in all my usual morning rituals in like an hour. So I woke up at 7, and that's when I got nervous.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how I was going to get all my shit done, you know, before 11 o'clock, you know, before lunchtime.
What are your morning rituals?
Dude, I get up, I do workouts, I call people, specific people that I need to talk to get me right mentally, you know, and they're lazy Mexicans, they're not up that early on a on a Saturday, so I was like, damn it, who am I going to call, you know? But I call my grandma sets me on a good path, you know, and we say a prayer together, and I didn't get to do that this time, so I didn't get to do a lot of I didn't get to stomp the cage, I could do a lot of stuff this time, man, and it was kind of, I don't know if it maybe threw me out of my element, but I still felt, you know, I still felt good.
Well, look, you'll definitely be back, man. You know, I got all the, and by the way, thanks for doing the sprawl challenge for my friend Randy.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. You're welcome very much.
I truly appreciate that. And have a happy holidays. Give your best to Mercedes White, your beautiful wife.
Merry Christmas.
And your kids. And good luck with everything, Anthony.
All right, thank you guys. Hey, thanks for having me on, Adam. Marina, thank you.
No problem. Hey, and where can people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter, @AbertchuckMMA. You guys know I'm super interactive with my fans, so if you guys want to tweet me, send me a message, do whatever you got to do, I'll be sure to reply back to you guys. And hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/AnthonyBurchak.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. Take care, buddy.
Thanks so much.
All right, guys, take it easy. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So that was Anthony Burchak. Love that guy and his beautiful wife, Mercedes. So we were supposed to have Rashad Evans on the show, but what happened was they rearranged this room for some reason, and some of the cords got knocked out, or something happened where our phone lines were not working. So we're going to have Rashad on next week because the phones didn't work. We work in a $1 billion building, but we couldn't get a phone working. But however, it'll be next week. Guarantee the phones work next week. So Christmas is coming up. Looking forward to the holidays. What are you doing for the holidays, Marina?
I don't celebrate Christmas.
That's true. You celebrate Hanukkah.
Yeah, I'm working.
Did you celebrate Hanukkah at all?
I do celebrate Hanukkah. What I made some killer matzo ball soup.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my kind of girl.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have shows every night. Every night of the week I have shows, but it's going to be fun Christmas. That's what I'm doing Christmas. I'm doing shows Christmas Eve at I'm at Flappers Comedy Club on Wednesday night.
Where's Flappers?
It's in Burbank.
Burbank.
And then Friday and Saturday I'm at the Ice House. And Sunday I'm doing Moshki, some kind of Indian restaurant.
What do you have going on Christmas
and
Day?
Christmas Day? Nothing. I'm going to be, you know what? I've been working on this. I wrote a movie about a wrestling team, and I've been trying to get this Kickstarter campaign, and I finally have time to work on it.
So you're going to use Christmas to work on it?
Yes.
Do you have a Christmas tree?
I'm Jewish. So
do you have a menorah?
No, I'm not really religious. I'm not like.
Did you light any candles?
No. I mean, yeah, just to get some.
For the date.
Some incense to get the stuff out of my. But no, I haven't written any. I'm not a big holiday guy.
Well, that's a little sad.
Well, my life is a holiday. I get to enjoy every day's Christmas for me. I get to talk to fighters and get paid for it, and I get to do comedy and make people laugh, and get to sit next to beautiful Russian Moldova from the supernova from Moldova, who
Moldova.
What's Moldova?
The girl from Moldova. So it's, you know, my life is a holiday. I don't need to get a. The
this
holiday
girl from Moldova.
Yeah, the girl who likes to scissor and you know.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. By the way, Marina does not scissor for everybody that like keeps making these scissor memes. She's never scissored. Oh, have you ever scissored before?
Oh my God, I'm not going down this road again.
Oh, we're not going down the scissoring road.
No, we're not.
Yes. Okay. So, why are my things on? I don't even need this. Anyway, the fights this weekend. So, let's talk about some of the fights that happened. Machida looked amazing. He's gonna be. I guess they're saying he's gonna fight Luke Rockhold next.
They're really pushing that one.
That'll be a good fight. I don't know who wins that fight.
I think I love Machida, but I think Rockhold would take it.
Why?
I don't know. I think. I do know. I just think he has every ability to be one step ahead of Machida technically.
I don't know. Machida's been looking like a karate star as of late. I mean, not a karate star, like an action star. I mean, he's just throwing these that kick. I think it knocks out almost anybody with that kick, as long as they, you know, I guess now people are going to see it coming a little more maybe and prepare for that. But Dalloway looked like a fish out of water. And Dalloway's a tough guy. I was thinking maybe he's going to pull it off. He's good in Brazil. He's taking down more Brazilians than Nick Manning, but he was able to. You know who Nick Manning is?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
who's Nick Manning?
You don't know Nick Manning?
No,
he's the adult film star that says dropping loads.
There you go. It's a male adult porn star.
Yeah, who's taking out some Brazilians?
That's why I don't know who it is.
Okay, a lot of
Stern uses that.
Yeah, the dropping loads. A lot of people know who Nick Manning is, but anyway, so Barão also looked good, but he did fight the number 14 guy. I mean, you take the number two guy, number one guy, against the number 14, I think they're going to look as good or even better than Barão looked. But he did look good. He wants a rematch against the bathtub that beat him. So he looked good. You know, he fell in the bathtub for the fight before that.
He fell into the bathtub?
He passed out in the bathtub.
Cutting weight.
Yes.
So he wants to fight the bathtub.
Yes. It's going to be a sanctioned fight. It'll be Barão versus the bathtub. Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
I don't think I would watch that.
Yeah, me neither. I wouldn't watch that either. So,
Adam, let me ask you a question about that fight. Do you think Gagnon gave up? Because it looked like he didn't even attempt to fight off the arm triangle.
I think he maybe got a little deflated. I thought he had the right game plan. I think he was landing more shots than like other number 14 guys would land on the number one guy. You know, like he was actually, it was a competitive fight. I thought in the first two rounds, it wasn't as competitive. Barão was looking better, but it wasn't as one-sided as, let's say, okay, who's the number one heavyweight? Let's say...
Cain
Velasquez, right? The number one contender after him would be Verdum. If Verdum fought the number 14 heavyweight, which would be who? Let's say...
I don't know.
Who's the number... I mean, Schaub? I'm saying Schaub was number 14?
Around there.
Around there.
Gonzaga.
Okay, Verdum versus Gonzaga.
Mitrione. I think Mitrione's 14 right now.
Maybe Mitrione, but Verdum versus Gonzaga wouldn't look as competitive as I thought. Maybe heavyweight. Maybe that's a bad example, but it seems
a situation
like,
where the rankings matter. Say if you bring in like a top contender from a different country, and they're not ranked in the UFC. Now that's a battle of rankings. Like that's a true battle of like separate rankings. Do you know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Like, say there's a heavyweight in Russia somewhere that's a fucking beast, animals, but just killing everybody that Russia has to give them. And they get signed to the UFC and, like, nobody knows where he is. You know, say he gets
matched. The rankings don't matter in that case?
Yeah, they shouldn't matter until the fight is over because you can't place him.
Yeah, right, maybe.
You know, but then there's going to be a handful of people who don't want to fight him, and then there's going to be maybe one or two people in the top 10 who do want to fight him.
Kind of like a Joe Soto TJ situation, because Joe was unranked.
Exactly.
Technically.
Right.
So, if it's within the UFC, if it's two fighters within the UFC rankings who are fighting each other, that's when rankings are going to affect the fight. But if you're bringing somebody in who's completely, you know, just anonymous in that way, then it's not going to matter.
Well, Mitch has had UFC fights, though.
Who? Yeah.
Mitch Gagnon.
Yeah, no, I thought Gagnon looked good, though. I thought he looked competitive. But it was weird. Burrell was also coming off, he got shellacked by TJ. The last fight, he didn't make weight, then he got sick and then passed out. It was a weird, he was fighting in Brazil. He had the crowd behind him. He looked good, Burrell. He looked good. A lot of people were doubting Burrell after that, saying like the combined guys that he beat were barely over 500 as opposed to a couple guys like Faber and whatever. People were actually, I read an article about how they were doubting whether or not Burrell was the biggest con that the UFC sold us, which I didn't necessarily believe. But I didn't know because I didn't know much about him until the UFC kind of merged with the WEC.
So the UFC told you.
Honestly, Burrell looked like he should be the number one seed. However, he fought a guy who was the number 14 seed. So it was a case of, you know, is Burrell as good as we thought he was? Is he? I mean, I don't know. I know that TJ shellacked him, but that could happen at all. That could happen. You know, maybe a guy gets complacent. But I mean, look, he looked great against Uriah Faber. Burrell did, and Uriah Faber is a guy that you don't just beat Uriah Faber unless you're the top echelon of the top echelon. He's not a guy you could just walk through. Nobody's walking through Faber. Maybe Matt Brown when he surprised him and you could maybe catch him, but not like that.
What do you think about it? How about Burrell with hair?
Mike Brown, by the way. I said Matt Brown, Mike Brown. I was talking
about, what? How about Burrell with hair?
Burrell. Oh yeah, he had hair. Yeah, he looked better. He took away from
that's
his
what
like,
alien
teeth.
Like.
Yeah. Speaking of teeth, Pat Cummings. I like the fact that it looked like John Dodson could fit through his mouth. Honestly, so somebody on the underground said that like Matthew.
Somebody's gonna make a meme of that.
Somebody said that Matthew McConaughey is gonna fly a spaceship through that black hole on the underground, which made me laugh pretty hard. Pat Cummings. You know, people may not like his style of fighting. Bullshit. He's a wrestler and he gets the win and he's been beating everybody. And you know what? Until he's confident with his striking, I like the way he's doing. He knows he's not a striker. Eventually, maybe he will be a striker. He'll get that kind of tutelage. But he's dominating black belts with his wrestling. And it's not easy to do. Not easy to do. And Pat Cummings, like I said before, he's been to jail. He was roommates with Mayhem Miller. I've been there a couple times where I'm like, this in itself is a fucking challenge that you're able to overcome. And he fought Daniel Cormier on 4 days' notice or a week notice. I mean, the guy in Brazil is a cakewalk. It's good for Pat Cummings. I'm happy for him.
It was a good way for him to get into the UFC, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what was amazing about that fight was he wasn't scared.
No.
Wasn't scared to go to the ground with him. And I was just like, he's going to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you go down on the ground with his, you know.
How dare
like,
you.
JJ, like, badass. And then he just didn't give a shit. And he was like, I'm going to put my will, impose my will on him.
And he's a guy
that,
like...
He had some real precarious situations with that fighting off that knee bar, though.
Oh,
that
yeah. No, I was like, exactly. I was like, honestly, like, no, no. I was screaming at the TV. No, don't. I was honestly no. Like, please. I like Pat Cummings. I've hung out with him. He's the very modest, down-to-earth, just a normal guy.
Which is how you pick fights and fighters.
What?
If you like them.
Oh, absolutely. Any, yes. So they announced that that Rampage is back. And then the World Series of Fighting said Rampage is not back. And then, not World Series of Fighting, because Scott Coker, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. Scott Coker said, no, he's not. He's still under contract. It was pretty funny because then somebody wrote, this guy, Steven Van Bieber, he wrote, LOL, when the parents bicker over custody, isn't it always the kids that suffer? Which I thought that was brilliant.
That's pretty funny.
Steven Van Bieber, thank you for making me laugh.
I'm confused. Wasn't he happy at Bellator? Wasn't he happy making a bunch of money in Bellator?
He was happy with Bjorn Rebney. Him and Bjorn. Like,
I thought he hated Bjorn.
Yeah, no, I thought he hated Bjorn.
No, remember?
That's King Mo that hates Bjorn.
No, King Mo. Remember, King Mo called Rampage a dick riding Bjorn. Remember, he's like, Rampage, you dick riding Bjorn. Or no, he called Bjorn a dick riding Rampage. Someone was dick riding somebody.
Oh, with Bjorn leaving and Scott Coker coming in. It's all confusing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think part of it, too, Rampage had to deal with Viacom and not necessarily Bellator. It was like this big, encompassing deal. And I don't think he was happy with it.
And also the Reebok deal. Also, isn't he sponsored by Reebok, Rampage? Yeah. I know a lot of
sponsored by them for a long time.
And a lot of people were kind of upset that Rampage came back, or not thrilled. You know what? Rampage is an entertainer. The guy walks out there with those chains, starts howling. I get pumped.
Barking, putting people's faces.
And he goes for the knockout. He knocks people out cold. Even in Bellator, he knocked out Joey Beltran, and he knocked out somebody else.
Christian Mpumbu.
He beat King Mo. I didn't think he was going to beat King Mo. I thought King Mo won that fight barely, but you could argue it both ways. It was a very pretty boring fight, but. You know, I like Rampage, and I'll watch Rampage fight. But why, that's the one thing I don't like about UFC or MMA fans is that, you know, the guy sort of gets a little washed up, or not washed up, or he's been around a little much, and people go, oh, but you gotta, you know, Rampage, the fights he had over in Pride, and I think he was like the one guy in Pride who wasn't juicing. If you look at like the fights that he's won when he lost in Pride, and then he beat him, the guys back in the UFC. From what I hear from my insider knowledge, which is just about as good as yours listening, but he was a guy that wasn't juicing, you know, and a lot of other guys seem to have been juicing, and you got to respect Rampage, and I will, you know, I met the guy, he came to a comedy show, and I was like, my little brother's convinced he's black, there he is, I pointed to Rampage, and he got a big kick out of it, and good for him.
He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, really good sense of humor.
Yeah.
The fight that was hard to watch was my buddy Biggie Rhodes, who's been on the show before. He's like my biggest supporter. He lost to Eric Silva. He got caught in an arm triangle, got put to sleep. But at least he didn't get hurt, right? Mm-hmm. I was trying to look at the silver lining. I mean, that's three in a row he lost. I hope they keep him. You know, I really hope they keep him.
Who were his first two fights?
He fought Robert Whittaker. Before that, I forgot who he lost to. But he lost to Eric Silva, and I mean, Eric Silva's a beast.
No, he's on the up. Eric Silva's on the up.
Somebody said that he's about as streaky as Yoel Romero's underwear. and he is. I mean, he loses the fights. He loses the big fights, Eric Silva, but he beats the guys he's probably, I guess you could say, he's supposed to beat on paper. It was hard to watch that, though. I mean, a guy like Biggie. But, you know, I talked to Biggie Mike Rhodes. He seems like he's in good spirits. Now, I got to ask, have you ever been put to sleep in a submission?
I've been choked out before in training.
In training?
In training, yeah.
How many times?
Not that many. I have a weird phobia of my neck. Like, I sleep with my hand protecting my neck. Like, I hate people when people touch my neck.
Really?
Yeah, I have. So, whenever.
So, during sex, there's no choking involved?
That's like a comfort level thing. But, like, in training. I immediately, like, if anybody ever gets my back, I have, like, the best defense on my neck. It's really hard to choke.
You yell, like, rape? Or
no,
that would be a good defense. Like, you brought a rape whistle. No, wait, so what's your defense if someone has your back?
I'm just really good about keeping my neck not.
So your boyfriend starts choking you, and then what do you do?
Wait, weren't we just talking about getting submitted? Can we just keep going in that direction?
Oh, yes. Okay, so you...
Basically, he's talking about
don't you submitted. Yes. Sit... No.
Thanks,
get
DJ.
The fuck out, DJ.
DJ.
Get the fuck out.
Captain Pervert speaks. All right, so now...
I take that back what I said about those sneakers. Right. I'm going to step on your foot later.
So, all right. So you, okay. So now, but my question is like, say you get choked out. Like, I know when you get knocked out, they say sometimes when you get knocked out, it's every time it's easier to get knocked out again. You know, it's a proven fact, but you get knocked out once, twice. Then eventually they say you're chinny and you end up getting knocked out a lot, which some guys seem to be that's not the case. I mean, like Schaub got knocked out earlier. He hasn't been knocked out. You know, he got knocked out a lot. Or Andre Arlovsky, who seemed like he was getting knocked out a lot for a while. He won his last five or six fights. Took some pretty big hits his last couple fights. Didn't get knocked out. But for the most part, I guess like in boxing, they say once your chin goes, your chin goes. And you could look at like a guy like Gray Maynard as a guy that maybe is on that path, or other guys out there. I'm sure there are, you know, other examples. Now, when you get choked out, is it the same? No, like you get choked out once or twice, and then you could go out easier?
No.
No?
No.
All right, so a guy like Biggie Mac Rhodes loses to Eric Silva, gets choked out by an arm triangle. Now, is it just like, okay, he's like totally fine now, pretty much, afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, like, unless they're, with the submission, if there was a crank also with the choke, there shouldn't be any damage. He just fell asleep. That's what it is. You just go to fucking sleep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Bill Cosby should have took up jiu-jitsu. All right. Now, Titan FC, Desmond Green, and Steve, did you watch that fight?
No.
Of course you didn't. Well, so our boy Desmond Green won, got the title, beat Steven Seiler, and I like the guys over at Titan. They're doing a very good job over there. Jeff Aronson and Lexi McMahon, whose father is Ed McMahon. Some of you older guys might know that. So Desmond won. He won the belt. It was a cool little. It was a good show. I was happy about it. I was happy to watch it. Now Cody McKenzie, the M1, he had the greatest walkout I've seen in a while. He came out to "Here I Go Again on My Own" by Whitesnake, and he was into it. He was punching himself at one point. It was pretty fucking cool. Then he lost. He went in for a double. He got kneed. It wasn't pretty. Look, Cody McKenzie, I will always be a fan of yours. You're a really good guy. But it just seems like, you know, a lot of these guys that they try to have other jobs and then just go into fighting. It seems like you got to do it full time, or at least, like, I know he's a commercial crab fisherman in Alaska, and then he just kind of takes fights sometimes.
I don't think that's true. What's that guy's name who's a firefighter who just fought
Stipe?
Yeah, Stipe, he's a fucking firefighter. He saves lives on the sidelines, and then he fucking goes in the cage and fights.
Yes, but I think that he's saving lives while practicing versus, like, going for, like, 8 months and fighting fires and then just coming back and showing up for fights.
That's true.
You know, so, you know, it's the kind of thing where, Cody, I know that, like, M1 might pay you better than UFC, according to you, or this and that. But it just seems like, but he, you know, he said he was in shape for this one. He said he was in shape. I know that his last fight, he had to lose, like,
55 pounds.
He didn't make 170. Yeah. And he had to get blood drained before the fight and got blood taken out, which probably isn't the best way to lose weight. Look, I'm no, you know, nutritionist, but getting blood drained to lose weight, probably not the best way. So now him and Mac Danzig and Will Brooks are all fighting on Twitter. Mac Danzig is basically saying, look, do you want to pull that, if you can pull that up somehow, but basically you don't have to, they're fighting over money. Basically, you know, Mac saying, listen, nobody forced you to get into fighting. You're complaining about fighter pay, but you know, you knew what you got into it. And now all of a sudden you're upset about it. And then Will Brooks wrote an open letter to a fighter saying he's well paid, fights for Bellator. If you put the time and the work in, eventually you'll be well compensated. Mm-hmm. All the guys who are complaining are guys who are either no longer in the UFC. So you could see both sides. Mm-hmm. Personally, fighters are underpaid in my opinion. But at the same time, I am not an economist. And I'm also not running the organization. I don't know exactly how much money is being going to where and what and how. You know, I'm underpaid as a comic, but I'm doing what I love. When you do what you love for a living, you're going to be underpaid until you hit the fucking big time.
Yeah.
It just sucks because everybody, you ask a little kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? A baseball player, a movie star, a fighter. And you know what? Most people don't get to do that. Because those are things that, like, you have to sacrifice and make shit money. And then, you know, you do well. I probably make more money than I don't know, 90, a big percentage of comedians. Most comedians, they go, oh, Adam Hunter, I'm on the successful end of the comics. And I'm still like, you know, unless you're the 1% of the comedians, you're not making as much money as you'd like to. And unfortunately, fighting is the same way. And so is acting. Most actors are not making a lot of money. The average actor in SAG probably makes, what, like $5,000 a year or something. But that's just eventually, and these numbers I'm pulling out of my ass, but eventually you make enough money where, you know, but that's just life. Life isn't fair. And that's what Mac Danzig said. Life isn't fair. And I happen to agree with him. Of course I would like to see fighters make more money. Of course. You know, fuck it. I want to see Marina. I fucking hate the fact that Vince Pichel is a professional fighter and is driving for AAA. I mean, that to me is like what professional NBA player is driving AAA? I mean, honestly, is Dwight Howard fucking towing your car? But, you know.
But baseball, NFL, they all started that way too. Like, yeah. Back in the day when they first started those leagues, those guys were doing double duty, working at places like that. So it is following a path. Eventually they will come. It's frustrating now, but.
Yeah, of course. But that's just but also
because,
you look.
Yeah, because the amount of work that fighters actually put in is never really going to be. It's never, like, you're never going to have to clock in for training. Do you know what I mean? And clock out for training. Like, no one is ever going to realize how hard we actually work to be able to get into the cage. So all these people are really concerned about is the, you know. It's the official fight.
And that's bullshit saying that you work for 5 minutes a year and you get paid. No, you don't. It's all the training that goes into it. But I mean, but that's, like you said, DJ, you look at rappers, I'm sure EPMD is pissed at Iggy Azalea how much she's making. You know, I guarantee you the fucking Lost Boys are looking at going, what the fuck? I Young MC, I think, was a better rapper than Iggy Azalea for his time, you know, and I'm sure he's probably like, but the guys who paved the way always get screwed, and that's in every, and it's not fair, but like, life isn't fair. Mm-mm. What's fair? I mean,
I love EPMD. I'm so happy you brought them up.
Yes, a crossroads. Now, CM Punk said he's willing to fight Anderson Silva for the right money.
Who isn't? I'd fight Anderson Silva for the right money.
You would?
Fuck yeah, I would.
How much money?
I don't, whatever's right. I don't know.
For $1 million you would?
Yeah, I would fight him for $1 million.
For $20,000?
I would fight him for $20,000.
$10,000?
Yeah, I would probably fight him for $10,000.
And how do you think you would do?
I would probably get my ass kicked, but
medicals,
I would do it in
medicals
the most.
Paid for?
Yes.
Wait, probably get your ass kicked?
Yeah, because he's so much fucking bigger than me.
But wouldn't it be like a definitely get your ass kicked?
No. I would put in a good fight. I think I would put in a pretty good fight.
So Anderson Silva at 185, who was the greatest of all time, versus Marina, who's 145, okay, 145 female, you've had two pro fights, and you think that it would be a competitive fight?
I would love to do it.
Wait, you think it's to be a competitive fight?
No. I really.
I mean, look, I'll be in your corner.
Oh, I know it. There's gonna be a handful of people rooting for me.
I will be rooting for you so hard. But it's like when Ronda said she can beat Kane under the right circumstances. Like, what are these circumstances?
I don't have any circumstances.
Like he just took Ambien, like 7 pills. What are these circumstances?
Post surgery of his leg.
I mean, like, while he's like in a coma or something, he comes over and just flies on him.
He still needs to be casted with crutches.
Right. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm on Team Arena, but
I'm on Team Arena.
But why is CM Punk even saying that? I guess he's trying to say that
he's an entertainer, and that's what they say.
Yeah. Hey, DJ, I know that it's show and tell and you're showing naked pictures, but it's very distracting trying to have a podcast while my producer is showing Evan the Beard pictures of chicks that he banged.
They're pictures of you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
They're actually of the new Entourage movie that the trailer just dropped today.
I know. We show Marina during the break. Thank you. So professional. This is the most professionally run. All right.
I'm just going to start sending you dick pics for the rest of the show so you can just get nothing done.
Okay, thank you.
Did you just talk about her getting pile driven earlier or whatever that was?
Yes. Yeah, they were.
Yes, I know.
And then he asked me if I like to get choked while having sex.
Let's all turn on Adam for a second. Hold on.
No, I don't like people doing having.
The mark of professionalism over here.
No.
I don't just showing people pictures. It's just distracting to me. I don't care if you want to show pictures of her getting pile drived. Sure, and that's no problem. We could all have showing. All right, you know what? So all right. And now the fighters are still calling out CM Punk. I know TJ Grant said that it's making him. He said on Twitter it's making a joke with the sport. He's saying you can't just learn how to become a fighter in 6 months. He's been doing it his whole life. And he says, you know, he's a big fan of his wrestling, but this is ridiculous. And people are going back and forth with that. Phil Baroni, he said, fight me, hashtag homo. Which
is like, that's so Baroni. Like,
I mean, that's, they say that's
that
how you,
so Baroni.
That's how you call someone out, New York badass style, fight me, hashtag homo. I mean, I couldn't help but laugh.
Which is funny given his past. Mm-hmm. You could pull up some pretty homoerotic pictures of Phil Baroni.
Oh, absolutely. But the fact that, like, that's his way of getting you, like, I'll call him a homo. It's such, like, an 80s.
Yeah. It's like, no, it's also like you're going to go with, like, an 8th grade move.
Oh,
like,
it is.
That's
total,
an exciting word when you're in 8th grade.
Total 8th grade move. Like, I'll get him.
Yeah. Baroni's going to stuff him in a locker.
He's just such an easy target right now, CM Punk.
Yes.
Such an easy target because nobody knows anything about him.
How do you think you would do against him?
CM Punk?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd fuck him up.
Totally. So why don't you call him out?
Because I don't have any interest in it.
So you think you'd fuck him up how? A one round?
Yeah.
You'd submit him?
Mm.
So you think that... Yeah. So he's fighting at 185.
Yeah.
At like, so how do you think it's...
Why? He's that big?
Yeah.
I thought he was fighting at 170.
He's either going to go either 185 or 170.
Ooh. So how do you think this is going to turn out for him?
I hope for the best. Because I've met the guy. I've met him and he's a sweetheart and he's super respectful and... I really hope that he prepares the right way for it.
Yeah.
You know, I want it to work out. I would love to see a fucking legit crossover. Fuck. We need that audience. We need that WWE, those fans. Those fans stick with their wrestlers through, you know, through losses and wins. We need those kinds of fans. So I think I can see why the UFC did it, and that's what I'm on board with. I just hope. I think it's a win-win situation for the UFC.
But a guy that 185 that you think you can beat, or that you're sure that you can beat in one round, like
we're
is there
just talking
any,
about me right now.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, is there any other fighter at 185 you think you could beat in one round in the UFC, or at 170?
I don't know.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
So I mean, so how do you think this guy's going to do well? I mean, in 6 months of, you think it's all of a sudden? I mean, unless he fights one of these guys that like from the UFC. Ultimate Fighter China, who's like 1-0 or 2-1.
It's all relative until we see his performance, honestly.
Yeah.
That's all we can speculate all we want. There's a lot of people who just want to see his ass get knocked out. You know?
Who wants to see that? I don't care about it. Nothing will get me excited about seeing a guy just get knocked out. It's mm-hmm. like, I can go to World Star Hip Hop and watch that.
But if you're a fan of WWE, it's CM Punk and it's a big deal. Because they still, to this day, he hasn't been signed with the WWE for God knows how long, and they still chant his name.
So, really?
Yes, really.
Why?
They still wear CM Punk gear.
They chant his name during fights? He's not there?
Yes. The whole fucking crowd. All the time. The one show, WrestleMania or SummerSlam that I went with the girls, it was fucking crazy.
So he wasn't
the whole Staples Center was going nuts for him.
Do you think maybe there's some kind of like mental problems with these people? Like that they're
no.
But why would they chant a guy's
they're
name that's not
fans.
There?
That, what, now they have mental problems but because no,
but
they're
no,
a fan?
No, but who goes to a rock concert and chants for a band that's not there?
Yeah, but it's...
You do?
Every time I see a shitty band, I ask for Metallica.
Really? No, you don't.
No.
I don't understand
because
that.
Because that's the type of entertainment that professional wrestling is. There's a variety of wrestlers who sometimes perform. It's all about the element of surprise. When you have rock shows and you have concerts, you know, that unexpected shit where Rihanna jumps out of nowhere, like, that doesn't happen all the fucking time.
No, but
in wrestling, they're known
so
for
So they
that.
Probably think that he's there. That's why they're chanting his name.
They want him to be there.
They're not just chanting
so
his name
bad.
Randomly.
They're trying to will him
yes.
into coming out.
Yes.
That's what wrestling is about.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
No, I'm not saying anything wrong with wrestling. I like watching wrestling. I liked it when I was up until like 14. I'm telling you, there was no bigger wrestling fan than me.
Why are you looking down at me when you say
I'm not.
Even though it was 14.
There was no bigger. My video store was out of VHS tapes of wrestling because I had watched everyone three or four times. Trust me on this. I got hit by a car when I was in third grade.
Well, then you should understand more than me.
The first thing I said was, are we getting WrestleMania 3?
No, okay. You shouldn't even be questioning me then. You already know.
No, he thinks he's matured.
I'm not matured.
He's set up to 14.
I'm not.
Touché, friend.
No, listen. This is a guy who walks in heaven with a podcast and chimes in with no microphone. Okay, no, I don't think I've matured, okay? I still enjoy wrestling. I don't follow it. So to watch it now is just too confusing. I don't know who the people are. I just don't have the time. I understand people that do. I respect it. It seems fun.
Marina, you should take Adam to WrestleMania this year.
I should.
No, but I have a question. So when you were watching
next year,
like this year, it's in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
So did you ever feel like, okay, Hogan's out there. I just want the Ultimate Warrior to run out and shake the ring any moment. You were like chanting.
And you have the option. Kind of the
yes, yeah. Because I thought he was there. But what I was under the thing was that they were just yelling that because he's already been retired from wrestling and they're still chanting CM Punk.
No, because there's
people retired and made them.
All right, this let's talk about UFC. I don't care about this stuff anymore. Listen, so
because he lost. Yeah.
It's not an argument. I'm good.
And are you wearing a hacksaw shirt?
Yes, I'm wearing a hacksaw.
Are you fucking serious right now? You gotta be fucking kidding me!
I'm wearing a hacksaw.
Get the fuck out! This show is not about.
I'm wearing a hacksaw Jim Duggan T-shirt. Yes, I am.
Jesus,
I loved hacksaw. Ho! Look, I loved hacksaw Jim Duggan. Just demolition,
just pandering to the wrestling audience.
No, I do.
Not giving a shit in real life.
No, I do. Not anymore. I don't follow anymore. Okay, but I like the old school wrestlers. Those are my guys: Jake the Snake and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Doink the Clown. And the honky tonk man and I don't know, Dino Bravo. Anyway, so
Miss Elizabeth.
I could name every old school wrestler. Trust me, I had all the action.
Did you ever see the movie Glow?
It's Gorgeous this Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah. It's so good, so good. Yeah. So good. We watched it like a few weeks ago.
Nice. So Rory, okay. So they announced that Rory McDonald will not get a title shot. I think that they should do Lawler Hendricks 3. I do. The first two were really close fights. Mm-hmm. In fact, the second fight, Rogan was arguing that Hendricks won. A lot of people thought Hendricks won. And I know the fans are angry about that. A lot of fans are like, come on, this bullshit.
Honestly, I'm so happy Lawler won. I'm so fucking happy he won. He finished the fight. If like that, I've never seen anybody finish a 5-round fight and like just walk off like that.
Yeah.
Just, he gave it everything.
No, he's a...
And I don't believe that Johnny Hendricks fought like a champion. I don't feel like he realized that there was a championship at stake. I felt like he thought it was a sparring session, and he was just trying to survive.
I think that was because of the bad weight cut he had. He lost 50 pounds for that fight. He was walking around at 218 to make 170.
Well, that's shit that you just don't do when you're a champ.
Don't know why. That's what happened.
No, exactly.
So,
wah.
But I'm
that's
saying
exactly
that I think
wah.
He deserves a third fight.
He wants to be the kind of champion that has a family and does all this stuff. But you know that doesn't mean your responsibilities as a fighter and a champion go away. Just you can't. I don't know. He didn't come in prepared for that.
Yeah, don't defend him.
Yeah,
nobody's arguing that. I'm not defending anyone, okay? I actually didn't get a chance to finish my point. But the point was that he won the first fight. He lost the second fight, which I agree. He wasn't prepared as well as he should have been. I think he knows that. But there should be a third fight because if a champion loses a fight and a close fight, why not give him a third fight? It was not like he got dominated or blown out. You know, that happened with Dos Santos and Cain. They gave them a third fight. Even with Cruz Faber, it didn't happen back-to-back-to-back, but they gave them a third fight. I think that it was a close enough fight to argue. It made money. The UFC, it did better than previous UFCs. And I understand that people want to, you know, people don't want to see, oh, we've already seen it twice. Yeah, he's not the most exciting fighter, Hendricks, as of late. But that's because maybe Robbie's chin is that good. Other guys, he was knocking fools out left and right. I mean, you look at what he did to the other guys. Give him a third fight.
I would love to see that fight again. Good. I would absolutely love because I was a huge fan of Hendricks even before he had the championship. Like I want to see that fight, but there's just no
what I was saying earlier is that there's just no excuse for just letting it go like that.
I agree. Let me pose
a question to the both of you. You bring this up. If money wasn't involved and it was just for pride, mm-hmm. do you think Johnny would want to fight Robbie again? If it was purely, I think, you know what? Marina brought up an interesting point about how he thought it was just, it looked like he was just a sparring session. He was going through the motions. So take money out of the equation. This is like Kumite in the freaking back alleys of whatever, and it's just for pride.
Personally, I don't think he's there anymore. I think there was a spot before he was a champion that, you know, he had that mentality like, fuck it, I'll just fight for free if it means that I can get the belt. But I feel like once he got the belt, just by watching his performance, I don't think he would.
Look, when
I
Hendrick,
don't think he would.
When Hendricks was a 4-time state champion, I think it was Iowa. Was it Iowa or was it Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. 4-time state champion of Oklahoma, and then he went to, and then he was a 4-time All American, 2-time national champion, 1-time, and then he was a runner up a senior year. That was all for free. There was no money there, and you don't get, that's all pride.
And is that,
you know,
just maybe fickle MMA all pride. Fans saying, you know what, I'm kind of done with him, on to the next guy.
I think that's right? I understand that, but all that was for free. There was no money mm-hmm. involved. And against all his fights leading up to this one fight, you know, him beating GSP, I thought he beat GSP. I know he didn't get the win, but I thought he won. The first Robbie fight was a great fight, knocking out Campman, knocking out Kostjak, knocking out all the guys that he beat. So there was no money, there was money. So he had one bad performance against a guy he doesn't necessarily match up that great against.
Yeah. That's why I'm posing the question.
So, you know what, MMA fans, as much as I understand, and I think Rory McDonald, a lot of Canadians fans are upset because he's the pride of Canada right now. Mm-hmm. GSP's gone. You know, Canadians they love their own. I mean, it's just like anybody else, but it's like, they don't have that many people.
They also have nothing to worry about. Just because he's not getting this title shot doesn't mean that, like, he's not going to fight an exciting fight with whoever he's got next.
Lombard. And,
yeah, like, that's...
But I know, but Canadians feel that Rory McDonald deserves a title shot. They feel that he has gone through the hoops and he's gone...
Well, unless there's a UFC, what's it called, poll... that they want to put on where their fans' opinions actually matter, that shit really doesn't fucking matter.
You can't, because also the fans can be swayed. Look, the fans wanted Chael to fight John Jones, and we all saw how that went. You know, the fans are going to want to put CM Punk against you know, a lot of fans.
Hector Lombard.
Well, you know what? There was actually an interesting poll on the underground of the hardcore fans. Who would you rather see in the UFC, CM Punk or Ben Askren? And more people wanted to see Ben Askren because the hardcore fans know fighting. And the hardcore fans know that Ben Askren is a much more of a competitor than CM Punk is.
And the hardcore fans make up about 2% of the whole audience.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Which is why I posed earlier. Well, if you're going to do that, let's just have the porn star fights. Because, like I said...
Include DJ on it. DJ. Who are they?
Well, right now, Nikki Benz and Lisa Ann are fighting mm-hmm. on Twitter. They want to.
Ann's scrappy, man.
Really? You think she'd win?
I would think she's like that old cougar scrappy.
I don't know. I think Nikki Benz more of a fitness girl, though.
That doesn't mean anything.
All right. So then, and then also Jenna Jameson and Jesse James.
We'll see how hard they've been slapped in the porn to see if they have chins.
You said you pay the shit out of that?
Who's in the rubber
see?
Video?
Who
would
pay to see that?
Yeah, I want to see the
rubber.
Is it a real
fight or
no,
is it
No.
No, they want to have a boxing match.
No, they want to have
and then Jesse.
Celebrity, like, boxing matches don't ever go right.
And then
like
Jesse.
Mickey Rourke.
And then Jesse Jane wants to fight Jenna Jameson. And then, what's his name? The girl. Christy Mack. And what's her name want
to
fight?
We used to do, remember Ellis Mania at Fuel?
Yeah.
Okay, so was it like Mira and Deegan? Remember that fight?
I didn't see that fight.
Okay, so I think that was like the last Ellis Mania that we did at Fuel. It's fucking epic. Like, those dudes trained for each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Wanted to beat the shit out of each other, right? And then you go to like stuff that's not Ellis Mania, the other celebrity boxing matches. They're like wearing like 20-ounce gloves.
Yeah, no, you know, you'd have to have honestly 4-ounce gloves.
Yeah.
But tell me that like training camps wouldn't welcome them in. You tell me American Top Team wouldn't want Lisa Ann to train there. I mean, or
Lisa Ann dates athletes, of course.
Or like the Black Zillions wouldn't want, you know, Jesse Jane to come join the Black Zillions. So, yeah, and then it's who's the last one? It was the last one. It was Chrissy Mack, and then the other one. Who was the girl that Rachel. It was the other
one.
It's the girl that's like she's all tatted up. I had it written down. Bonnie Rotten. Bonnie Rotten. Christy. But what we were saying, don't you think like a Titan FC or a Legacy or one of these, like even the one out in Vegas with the amateur fights.
Tough enough.
Should just do that.
I think if they're serious about fighting, there's no question that Phil Brooks, CM Punk, is serious about fighting. He's not going to go out there and try to jump off the top turnbuckle. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
You know, he's not going to try to do that shit. He's serious about fighting. It sucks that it's coming at such a old age at 36.
But that's, you know, the expense he's got to pay, is that he's going to get those fans that are just going to be like, what the fuck are you going to do? You're going to try to...
He's going to get fans.
The thing is, I don't even watch porn. Honestly, the only porn I really watch is Dancing Bear. I'll watch like 30 seconds of porn
here
and there.
If you've ever lied, that is the fucking biggest lie.
I really don't watch.
I completely agree.
I swear. I swear.
That is the biggest crock of shit I've ever heard.
The least you can do is be honest.
I don't watch porn.
The least you can do is be honest.
I'll go on YouJizz, right? And
you wouldn't even know that site's name if you didn't watch porn all the time.
I don't even know that site.
Oh, it's pretty good. All right, so or like Beach. Okay, but I'll go on for like 45 seconds. It takes me to rub it out, and then that's it. I don't like necessarily know the porn stars' names, or I'm not into it. Like,
well, clearly you do.
No, I know them because you're beefing on my Twitter because I knew them from the like Playboy days when I used to work at Playboy.
But they're popular girls. They're like up at the top.
Yeah, so I'm saying I don't know people that are up for AVNs. I didn't even know who Asa Akira was until someone put it on my thing. Okay, but I'm saying that I would watch these fights.
But I guess what I'm asking, are they serious fights or are they?
I have no idea. You know, I don't know why are we talking about this.
They're serious and they actually want to beat each other
Rita,
up.
Look at his phone's history.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, let's look at your history, your internet history.
Go ahead.
I'm kind of go scared, ahead, so I'm good.
All right, so. Now, the UFC, finally, the UFC...
It's just hundreds of pictures of Marina Shafir.
Yes. Photoshop. Listen, God. So the UFC lawsuit that's going on right now, obviously, you heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
So Kung Lee, Nate Quarry, and John Fitch are suing the UFC for a monopoly, and they have big-time lawyers, and then now a new lawsuit came out today where Dennis Hallman and someone else is suing... for the same thing, some guys. So I don't know. I mean, I don't understand how. I don't really understand law that well. I'm not gonna pretend to. But I thought it was funny because I was saying, okay, there are other lawsuits going involved, and I started putting it on Twitter, and then everyone started posting the UFC lawsuits. So I'm gonna read some of them. They're pretty funny. So Joe Jaggi said that Dwayne Ludwig is suing Faber for custody of TJ Dillashaw.
Oh, these are awesome.
Personally, I was waiting for Justin McCullough to show up wearing a mask. That would have been awesome. Somebody wrote that Fitch is involved in the lawsuit. It's gonna be a long and boring decision. The bear that Khabib wrestled is suing the UFC. Chael Sonnen is suing the UFC for not giving him a schedule of random drug tests. Pat Barry is suing for allowing takedowns. Cyborg said she was going to sue the UFC, then didn't make weight. Leslie Smith's ear is suing. It's going to be a bust. Steve Mazzagatti is suing Elite XC. Guy's always behind the times. Anthony Pettis heard about the lawsuit and injured himself. OSP heard about the lawsuit and decided to sue Bellator. Because he called out people that were ranked less than him. Chris Holdsworth is suing the UFC for Juliana Pena giving him blue balls.
Oh, my God.
That was your season, right?
Oh, God.
I said that Ronda...
She wanted him so bad.
Did she really?
I think so. I mean, that's what the emphasis from everybody was, is that, like, she just tried to have, like, a really, like, secret relationship with him. It was just... I couldn't decide if it was cute or creepy. So
when she's not training, she looks really good.
She's a gorgeous girl.
When she's training, she gets a little like buff looking.
You think I look this awesome when I'm like training? I look like a fucking completely different animal.
What kind of animal?
Oh my God. Continue with the list.
All right, so...
kind of animal.
I said Yoel Romero stool sued the UFC for being put in the octagon longer than I had agreed to. Ben Askren wanted to be part of the lawsuit for the against UFC, but the plaintiff said they wouldn't sign him until he won a few fights first. I thought that was good. Brian Caraway is suing Misha for more allowance money.
That's
good. CM Punk is going to sue the UFC for their poor decision making. Ariane suing the UFC for her bad taste in men. She does have pretty bad taste in men.
Who did she date last?
Some kind of sheik that like beat her up or something. Remember that she got arrested for domestic battery?
So she beat him up?
She hit him.
She kicked him out of the limo because he was cheating on her. She went through his phone. And
they got back together.
Yeah, so...
I'm not caught up with that.
And then I put Ronda suing the UFC for laughing at Shayna Baszler's pain.
That one was good.
For laughing at Shayna's pain. And then Shayna laughed, too. I was happy about that.
Yeah, no, that one was really funny.
Uriah Hall apologized for the whole lawsuit. and Paul Harris is suing the UFC for not having a 10-tap minimum.
Didn't he do the same thing at WSOF?
Oh, he just knee-barred the shit out of...
until, like, after the tap?
Oh, it was...
Yeah, but...
It was fine. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah. It was brutal. Like, he cranked the hell out of it. But it was fine by me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where now it's like...
If you loosen up on that, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then Wanderlei Silva is suing the UFC for hurting his ankle while running away from them. The drug test, which I thought was great. And Will Capizano's penis is suing for not being paid to show up at 167. The things are good. Thank you guys on Twitter for making me laugh. I appreciate all the lawsuits on Twitter. So what do you got this weekend? What are you doing?
Coming up, I'm Justin's parents bought an RV and did a cross-country road trip. So they're here from New York.
Nice.
First time ever. So we're just going to celebrate Christmas Day together.
Hmm.
And then this weekend...
Now, do you guys have sex with him? Are they staying with you?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
They have their RV.
They're staying in an RV?
Yeah.
You live in a mansion and you're not inviting them in?
I don't live in a mansion.
I heard you live in a mansion.
I don't live in a mansion.
That's just the word on the street.
Well, don't listen to the word on the street.
I heard you and Rhonda have like servants and like live in mansions and all kinds of... No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No. We have a cleaning lady. That's pretty much about it.
All right. But you guys live in a $5 million house.
No.
$3
million? I don't know how much it is.
Oh, but it's around that ballpark figure.
No, it's not. I don't think so.
Really?
I don't know.
How do you know? What are you there with binoculars? How would you possibly know?
Head of UFC on Fox Digital. I know everything.
Wow. all right. Okay.
It's a nice, cute little house. It's not that big. It's like a little, it's like a clubhouse.
It's just you two and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You guys ever have pillow fights?
No.
No? No lingerie comparison? Like?
No. We're really like not like the average girl roommates.
You don't talk about boys and stuff?
Yeah, we talk about boys and stuff. Yeah, we talk about everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
You guys sit there by the fireplace and you're like...
Like sleep shirts.
Yeah.
Sleep shirts. And you're like, hey, it's like No Panty Wednesday. No? You don't have No Panty Wednesday?
No, but we have... when we walk into the house, we have this thing where we just go, anyone home? And if nobody says anything, we go, no one home? Goodbye, pants.
Oh, you guys just get naked?
Yeah, the pants off, dance off.
Like underwear, everything?
No, just the pants. Oh. How can you be comfortable taking your underwear off?
That's what I heard.
Then when you have a dog around and there's hair everywhere.
Like, I heard that.
From your dreams.
Do you feel weird when your dog sees you naked?
No. She tries to like smell me though.
Oh,
and that that's...
I feel weird.
Like smell your vagina?
So I'm just like, Mochi, go away.
Really?
Yeah, because like that's how dogs check in on you.
Really?
You ever notice whenever you meet a dog, the first thing they go for is smelling your crotch?
Oh. Now, being Russian, a lot of times people say that like Russians have huge bushes. Uh-huh. Is that true?
No, that's not true.
All right, that's just what I heard. That's just the word on the street.
He's got his Russian bush intel.
Honestly, I heard that Russians have humongous bushes.
And he says he doesn't watch porn.
Yeah. No, he's checking up on this decade status of Russian
like,
bush.
Honestly, like you and Rhonda don't compare, but like, hey, look at mine. It's like huge. And she's like, oh, mine's bigger. You don't have...
No.
No? All right, I'm just, this is a very serious
podcast. Do you do that with your friends?
Yes, yeah. All the time. I go, look at my bush. They show me theirs. It's a good time. I don't have any friends.
Sounds
listen, no, I don't. I'm in Vegas next week. You could be in Vegas for 182?
Uh-uh.
Why not?
No, I'm good.
I got a ticket to the fight. Can't
an
wait.
Extra one?
I may have an extra one.
No.
Mm. Well, there you go.
I don't want to go.
That sounded like the beginning of you asking Marina to go to the fight with you, and then it took
and I just completely
took
just deadened.
Well, I figured she would have tickets. I figured she'd have a ticket. I figured you would.
Why would I have a ticket?
Because you're a fighter, and you're
why? Because I'm best friends with Rhonda.
You're in the loop.
Yeah, that's what that is.
You're in the Entourage trailer.
Yeah, I was in the Entourage trailer.
That's pretty cool.
You just bring a screenshot of yourself in that trailer to the arena. Okay. You
don't you know who I am? No, stunt I'm not like.
Do you have any stunt work going on?
Not yet, because the stunt school that I go to is based outside, and it's all been flooded from the rain.
Ah.
And then it's the holidays, so I have to wait till like next year to go back. But the stunt coordinator who I worked with last was like really excited about how I did, and she wants to really take me under her wing and just do some low profile gigs. Just to get comfortable and
that's dope.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Still working on that high fall. Fuck that shit.
Gotcha.
I have like such.
Right, so
I have a fear of because I when I was a kid I played outside all the time. I would climb trees, make tree houses and shit. But I fell once and it just scarred me.
Like out of a tree?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because I was trying to get my cat out from the tree.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did the cat come down?
Yeah, the cat was like, bitch, why the fuck did you fall?
Was the cat laughing at you? For...
That's what I felt like.
Yeah.
He just like ran off.
But your question before, I hate like when, if I, you know, when you try to masturbate and the fucking animals look at you, I have to kick them all out of the room.
I was like, what question did I ask about masturbating?
You talk about animals seeing you naked, right? That's the worst. When you're trying to jerk off, they all start staring.
Talking about like walking through the kitchen because no one's home. I'm not talking about jerking off in front of your pets.
I think when you're trying to jerk off, the pets always look at me. I have to kick them out or I'll have to vacuum to get them out of the room. And then, cause
how many pets do you have?
I have three.
He's got like an animal.
I have two cats.
Well, you
and a
have
dog.
Two cats
and a dog. I know.
Every time he breaks up with a girl.
Don't the cats give you this like judgmental look?
They
like,
do. They look at me like they're like, and then my dog's like, I wish I could do that, but you cut my nuts off. You know?
Yeah.
They have a weird, it's weird. You know, sometimes like if they go in the bed, I'll go on the floor and do it. I'm like, stay in the bed. I'm not kicking him off the bed to jerk off.
And now are you? Is this just Adam the comedian saying this because it's funny, or have you actually done that before?
Was your dog on the floor
while your dogs were in the bed?
No. As the comedian, I just said that.
Okay, thank God. That would be one of the most outrageous things I've ever been told in my life.
No, I have to get him out of the house.
The fact that I have to ask
do you have pets?
Yeah, I have a dog.
And do you ever jerk off? What do you do with the pets in the room when you're trying to jerk off?
She's 100% not in my room if that's the direction I'm going.
Well, the direction you're going? So you kick them out?
Yeah.
You guys leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
They're dogs.
Know.
It's pretty easy to convince them to
leave.
I do
that too,
but
then they all fucking like, they start scratching on the door like, hurry up. And I'm like, shut up.
Hurry up.
I can tell.
Get your Tinder game up, bro.
I know. My Tinder
How
game.
How is your Tinder game going?
My Tinder game? Well, I got a girl that I like, actually.
Didn't you say she didn't speak any English?
No, but he told me that he went down on her, but she didn't return the favor.
Oh, then what's the point?
It was like our second date.
I said, you can't really make any judgment calls because you're not serious. You can't really look into that. He's like, well, that was a little bit fucked up. And I'm like, yeah, you got fucked.
I didn't get fucked. That was the problem.
That's...
You didn't get anything.
No, yeah, not much. I was like,
wait, like you didn't even like put the tip in?
No, we didn't have sex.
Just for a second?
I could have honestly. She
see how it feels?
No, I could have. actually. I could have had sex with her. Honestly, like I'm
so
sure.
So then you were content with just pleasing her? There's because, nothing wrong with that.
I knew that she was on the fence about it, and I wasn't.
So it was your way of making her feel comfortable.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna push it.
So then you have nothing to complain about.
Well, I was complaining with you off the air because I didn't know this was going to be on the topic of the podcast.
Well, there are things that I tell you that think are off the air, but you...
did you forget about the scissoring conversation?
What? No, I was telling you this off the air, but yeah, so that was a little annoying.
Well, we're concerned about you, you know?
I thought maybe that was a little selfish of her to not...
Well, it's natural for you to feel that, but given the circumstances, you shouldn't feel that way.
But I have a feeling she's good at it. I don't know. Something kind of tells me.
Then you're.
I mean, a girl not giving, not a girl who's not good at giving, getting head. It's not that big of a deal, but it is kind of like. Come
is on. It a deal breaker for you?
It's not a deal breaker, but it's not a deal maker. It's sort of a. Really, this is what we're gonna have to do? Because you know, I don't want to have to instruct someone how to give head, because that's kind of creepy and gay when you're like, all right, take your.
Yeah, but what if she wants to learn? Doesn't that change things?
There's videos for that, you know.
And at a certain age, how do you want to teach someone?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it all depends.
How good are you?
Oh my god, we're not talking about.
Okay,
right
1 to 10.
I'm not talking about this right now.
1 to 10, your oral skills are.
My boyfriend is not complaining.
So you're like a black
Adam,
belt.
Adam, just say one. Say one.
Okay, so you're like a black belt in BJJ.
But I'm pumped.
You're a black belt in BJ's.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm not answering this question.
Okay, so like, you're a purple belt?
Wait, how about you, on a scale of 1 to 10?
Giving blowjobs? Horrible. I've never given one. But as far as going down there, I'm good. I've given girls some amazing fake orgasms. I think I'm pretty good when it comes to going. I've never had a complaint. I get the lockup sometimes, you know, where the chicks lock up around your head, or you know, I've gotten some good moans. So yeah,
the good sounding kind of moans. So they weren't crying or like pleading for their life.
No, or like, you know,
they had gags.
Or, you know, they like.
Yeah.
It's hard to complain when you're unconscious. Yeah.
Really? Thanks.
Is that why you were asking me about choking people out earlier?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Evan the Creep. I appreciate that. There's never been a girl unconscious before.
If anyone needs a shovel and some duct tape, just look at Adam's trunk.
First of all, I've had girls... Oh, I might even consider that.
Don't incriminate yourself.
I had a girl one time. This is pretty funny. Kind of. So this girl that I did not... This girl that I hooked up with, but she like was like my manager at the time. And I don't want to cross like managing versus whatever. And she liked me. So she was like... I slept next to her, but I was like, all right, we're not going to have sex, whatever. Somehow she... So she ended up waking me up with a BJ, right? So at that point, I'm like,
good manager.
Yeah, but I didn't want to, like, I knew she's my manager, it was business. So then she's in, like, recovery now, you know? And, like, she called me up and apologized, like, as one of her steps. Like, hey, I know you didn't want to hook up, and I'm sorry that I, like, you know? And I was like, I never had a girl apologize for giving me a blowjob before.
I go, how offended did you seem?
Like, I wasn't that offended. Like, well, oh,
no, it was not, one of her steps, so he couldn't be offended.
No, but she took it as a step. She must have felt like it really offended
We had already hooked up, but I was like, no more. I don't want to cross business. I really. She was a great manager. She was getting me like tons of gigs. I knew eventually I was gonna fuck. It was gonna go south because I didn't like her to the point where it was gonna be anything more than
a power couple. You gotta just stop being so irresistible.
It's hard, you know.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Wait, do you have any hot Moldovan friends that like would get impressed by toilet paper?
No.
Did you have to wait online with toilet paper growing up for like 3 hours?
No, but my mom told me when I was a baby, we would wait in line for like in the market. You have to wait in like the deli line or whatever. She would hold me, and I would always lean like away from her and pull all the babushkas off the ladies, just like. Grab them off their heads.
What's a babushka?
The scarves that they wear, like over their hair.
Yeah.
I would just yank them off.
Wow.
Over and over again, every time. That's why she stopped taking me to the store.
What? What do you have against babushkas?
I don't know. I was a child.
Damn.
Just want to take them off.
Always, always rallying against the grain.
I guess. Yeah.
Well, listen, Marina, we've learned a lot.
Best show ever.
It's the best show ever. She's a black belt in BJ. That's good. So this next week, guys, I will be at the LA Comedy Club at Bally's in Las Vegas. T-Rex somehow got on the show too. So I will be headlining. So if you want to come, hit me up. I'll get you comps. I'm there Tuesday to Sunday. I think I'm off New Year's, and then Saturday I got tickets to the fight, so I might be off then too. I'll have T-Rex close the show for once. But so if you want to come, hit me up. Adam Comedian or MMA Roasted. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Anthony Burchak. Sorry, Rashad Evans. It was not my fault. But the phone didn't work, and DJ was on the phone on the line ordering pizza for 30 minutes, so he couldn't get in here. Anything you want to say, Marina?
Also,
Merry Christmas.
Big timing, yeah.
Nice.
That's what I was doing.
Okay. What was that?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Wait, where are you going to be?
Going to be at home.
Be at home.
Home, spending it with my boyfriend.
Nice. Good. Are you guys going to get married?
I don't know.
Oh, before you don't believe in marriage, and now you don't know.
I don't know.
All right.
Who knows?
Next Tuesday.
What happened?
Next Tuesday, we're going to find out if the guy popped the question on the podcast. So keep listening. Thank you. Enjoy your holiday. Next week, we got Rashad Evans, and we got that girl from Denmark that fought for Invicta who looked like Paris Hilton on TRT.
You know, I would love to talk to her.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking to her next week.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's her name again?
I forget.
I got her. Hold on. I'm going to tell you her name right now. Yeah, she's going to be on the podcast. She's pretty hot. She's got two kids too. I didn't realize she had two kids. I was looking into her.
Paris Hilton on TRT.
She does. She looks like Paris Hilton on TRT. Cindy Dandois. Cindy Dandois and Rashad
Evans.
Yeah,
she was supposed to fight Caitlin Young first.
So yes, she will be on the podcast next week, along with Rashad Evans. So, thank you for listening. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Evan the Beard.
Bye.
Thanks, Evan the Beard.